Exodus chapter 20. That's an appropriate book for right after a meeting, Exodus. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. We are going to be traveling through the Bible today, and that's it right there. Exodus chapter 20. And we'll begin in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Please bless it as we rightly divide it today. Help us to do so. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory. You are worthy, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got these doctrines, quote unquote, everywhere that are not matching up with traditional Baptist doctrine anyway. Traditional Bible doctrine, really. Now they're saying, well, you got to keep the Sabbath. God didn't do away with the law, got to keep the Sabbath. God, he hallowed that day and made it special, and you're supposed to keep the Sabbath. Well, I'm going to tell you what I believe with the Old Testament diet. I believe the Old Testament diet will give you tremendous physical blessing, but it has nothing to do with your spiritual life. I believe God... Everything that God warned Israel against was cursed, and cursed in a special way, and Jesus Christ paid that debt. And I think that if you live on pork, thou shalt surely die. Amen. I think it's going to be bad for you, because God told them to give them physical blessings. And he blessed Israel and dealt with Israel more physically than he did spiritually. Now, when it comes to battles, obviously, he intervened spiritually. They won battles, lost battles, or what have you. But God blesses us more spiritually than he does physically. So I believe the Old Testament diet will really give you some amazing health benefits and physical benefits, but it's not necessary for salvation. And I believe that the Sabbath, taking a day of rest, would give you some tremendous physical benefits, but it's not required for our salvation. And that's where the Seventh-day Adventists and different churches get strange on, you got to keep the Sabbath. As we talked about before, they say, well, Sunday church is the mark of the beast. How do you put Sunday church in your hand or your forehead? I mean, that's just, it doesn't make sense. And these are people that believe the King, you should at least use the King James Bible. They'll say that. Makes no sense to me. But let's look at the Bible and see what it says. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. In Colossians chapter number 2, let's look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So what's that say? Let's say those things don't apply to the body of Christ. Where was the body of Christ in Exodus 20? It did not exist. He had a chosen people, and he was giving them rules, but it wasn't for the body of Christ. Back in Exodus 31, you want to hang on to Colossians there. Back in Exodus 31, I know this is more of a study, but we flipped the messages around here today. I believe it's what the Lord would have us to do. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Look down in verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. See that? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now look at John chapter 5. Told you we're going to be traveling. So the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. Even for the folks that wrongly believe we replaced Israel, we're still after Calvary now, not before. And we're not under the Old Testament obligations, correct? Correct. John chapter 5. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Does this say anything about the Sabbath? It's talking about faith. Passing from death unto life. You can keep the Sabbath and be dead in your back trespass and sin, being backslid. If you are saved, you can keep the Sabbath and be totally out of God's will and on your way to hell. But if you believe, if you have faith, if you do what God says, you have eternal life. You pass from death unto life. So you're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he quickens you. Look at John 3:16. So, well, you got to keep the Sabbath or you'll lose your salvation. You think if it was important, God would have said it to the church? Amen? If God wanted you to keep the Sabbath, don't you think he would have told the church? Instead of saying it was a sign between him and Israel? John chapter number 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, it doesn't say, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not kept the Sabbath. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is about faith in Jesus Christ. Now, keeping a day of rest, praise the Lord, that's good for you. We should do that. But it's not commanded for salvation. It was a sign between God and Israel. Look at Galatians chapter 3. You know what else it doesn't say in John chapter 5 or 4 or 3? He that believeth on him and is baptized. Isn't that something? Because baptism isn't required for salvation. Baptism is a step of obedience after salvation. The baptisms they're talking about when they try to apply it to the church are not even church-age baptisms. It's talking to Israel. And then you're looking at a transition period in the book of Acts. We are baptized into Christ spiritually. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Has nothing to do with baptism, has nothing to do with the Sabbath. Just going to clear this up for you before you get on the internet and the internet tells you I'm wrong. I'm going to show you what the Bible says. You can argue with it instead of me, amen? Praise the Lord. I don't think you will. I think you all are going to believe the book. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of the mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not the Sabbath, not water baptism. We're justified by faith in Christ. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, which is the law. Hey, I believe that if you don't trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you go to the white throne judgment, and God's going to go, look what you broke all my laws. He's going to judge you according to what you were given. But when you're saved, he judges your works. He doesn't judge you. You're already judged dead at Calvary and alive in Christ forevermore. Eternal salvation, eternal security, once saved, always saved, is not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. It's a church age doctrine. It's part of rightly dividing. So we're not obligated to keep the Sabbath. I think God would bless it if you took a day off and got some rest. I think a lot of people are probably on a lot of medications and stuff because they never take a rest. A lot of young folks, even, because they never take a rest. You've got to have some rest. But that's not what, biblically, that's not what took to our salvation. Verse 4, or chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, now you're a child of God. People that are lost are not children of God. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Right there says, now you're saved, you're a son of God. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now this is a very familiar passage where the Lord and the disciples, they're going through on the Sabbath, they're picking corn and eating it. And here comes the Pharisees in verse 2. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And then Jesus Christ says, Oh, you're right. No, he does not. You know what he says? But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? Because David's the type of Christ. He didn't just say David, he said they that were with him. Do you know why he's telling the Pharisees that? Because they missed the signs and the foreshadowings of the Old Testament. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You know why they're blameless? Because they were told to give the priests in the Old Testament. Remember, if you're under the law on the Sabbath, you can't even light a fire. You know what the priests were doing in the Old Testament on the Sabbath? They were doing burnt offerings on the Sabbath, which involved preparing the offering and fire. But God told them to do that. You know what Jesus Christ is telling them? You know, your priest, you didn't condemn them when they were doing this. He was telling them indirectly, I'm the high priest. You know what he says? For the Son of Man is Lord, verse 8, even of the Sabbath day. He's the high priest. He could do what he was doing. And they weren't getting it. Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in all will and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So right, he's warning them against getting this extra biblical tradition and adding it into their salvation. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This is going to be short and hopefully sweet. I'll wrap this up here. Just a little bit. Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How can you get around that? How can you say we have to keep the law for our salvation? To get it or to keep it? Right there it says, by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified. Look at verse 21. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So I'm telling you, the people that are keeping the law in their mind are discounting what Jesus Christ did. If you could be righteous by doing the deeds of the law, then Christ died for nothing. And if he died so you could be saved and then lose it by not keeping the law, he died for nothing. He's the last Adam. The first Adam earned eternal death. The last Adam gives you eternal life. Amen. Really, when you read and study the Bible and forget about what everybody else thinks, it's really easy to understand that you're going to heaven if you're saved. Amen. The question after that is whether you're going first class or coach. Amen. Are you going in the will of God or out of the will of God? His will is that you be saved, and you're saved. But how's the judgment seat of Christ going to be out? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, remember who were the Hebrews and who the Hebrews written to? Jews, written to Hebrews, not the church. Not everything's written to us, but the whole Bible's written for us, for our learning and admonition. In verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest. He's talking to Israel. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan was already done before the devil even got started. God knew what was going to happen. God has the answer to every evil before the evil even happens. So that rest was already set up because that rest was the foundation. It was from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ. For he spake, verse 4, in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. Now that's talking about some of Israel, but this does apply to us too in a sense, spiritually. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. You know who didn't enter in at first? The Pharisees rejected their Messiah, the religious crowd. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, They did the first time. He's telling them not to do it again. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? They didn't take the rest. Israel. So he's speaking of another day when the Lord comes back and they accept him the second time. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ is their rest. See, God created, you know, people say, well, you believe God made everything in 7 days. No, he made it in 6 days. He rested the seventh day. He finished his work and then rested. You know what you do as saved people? We finish our work, call on Christ, and rest in Christ. Because a lot of people in here have probably been at one time, before you got saved, you're probably thinking, I hope I do good enough. Probably weren't even looking at the Bible to see what good enough was, but I hope I do good enough. And then when you call on Jesus Christ, you rest in him. You're not struggling counting on your works anymore. You have a rest. You see, I'm not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is keeping me. He is our day of rest. Jesus Christ is our rest. Isn't it so unfortunate that the Jews, for the most part, most of the Jews missed that rest? They were looking for peace. They were looking for their Messiah. That was their rest. They rejected it. He turns to the church, and now we rest in Christ. And isn't it sad that a lot of people that call themselves Christians, that go to quote-unquote churches, miss the rest? I don't get it. It's demonic. It's devilish. It's spiritual, because people look at you and you say, I know where I'm going because Jesus Christ paid my entire sin debt. They go, well, that's prideful. That's prideful and wicked. What's prideful and wicked is to look at what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, see his shed blood, see the nail scars in his hands and feet and that spear in his side, and watch the pain, the agony, the distress, the humiliation that he went through, and the fact that he came back out of that grave and say, that's not enough. That's prideful. I have to do something on top of that. It's finished. It is finished. I'm not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is keeping me. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. We don't keep ceremonial law or Old Testament law of any sort to earn salvation. Jesus Christ, listen, he came, the Bible says, he abolished the ordinances, he nailed them to the cross, he fulfilled the law. He didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. But for you, it's abolished. For you, it's gone. You're not under the law. He fulfilled it. When God the Father looks at you, he says, you've already fulfilled the law, because he sees Jesus Christ. Praise God. If I had to keep 3 of the commandments, I wouldn't make it. And the Bible says if you can't keep one of them, you're guilty of all of them. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. I know Hebrews written to Hebrews, but practically you can apply this, because we have entered into his rest. We have entered into his rest. That kingdom that Israel seeks for, where they're looking for peace, where eventually they'll get it, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, where he rules by right of God. We're in the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom, which is a kingdom of rest. Right now, we know eternally we're good. We're saved, we're sealed, and we're set apart for a purpose. Again, I'll say this and I'll end. I am not keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is keeping me. Because Jesus Christ is our day of rest. Amen?